Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR and SiriusXM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. Well, tonight we go deeper inside the story behind the building of a new East End hospital in the District of Columbia. While many agree a new hospital is needed to serve the residents in Ward 7 and 8, there is a large debate over legislation to leave out Howard University from any part of the new hospital deal. The City Council is set to vote tomorrow on the D.C. End Health Equity Act. We have several Howard University medical officials joining us this evening. They say the council measure spells bad news for Howard and for the residents east of the river. Our guest tonight on the phone line, Dr. Mallory Williams. He is chief of trauma at Howard University Hospital. In studio with us, Dr. Carla Williams, interim director of the Howard University Cancer Center, and Felice Williams. She's a fourth-year medical student at the Howard University College of Medicine, also a doctor with that title. Now, also, they are not related by blood, all Williamses, but they are all part of the same campaign saying black doctors, yes, they matter, and Howard Medicine matters. If you think this is something that matters to you, we'd like to hear from you. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. The phone lines are open. You can join us on Twitter, also at Daily Drum WHUR. Follow me on Twitter at Bramante. All right, very, very important issue, and we are on the precipice of a vote tomorrow for the by the D.C. Council. It's expected that that vote will pass. So, Drs. Williamses, I will start with you, Dr. Felice Williams. Why is it critical that Howard be included in this legislation?
So the critical piece about Howard being included has to do with accreditation of the medical school and of our residency programs. So accreditation really harkens back to a historical place wherein medical schools were adjudicated in the early, I think, like the 19-teens. And the Flexner Report closed down a lot of the historically black medical schools, with the exception of Howard and Meharry. So that is the genesis of the LCME, which is the Liaison Medical Committee, which accredits medical schools. So to accredit a medical school, there are certain things that have to be in place: facilities, faculty, patients, patient encounters. So a medical school is viewed by the LCME, and then the LCME will say, you have enough of these things for 20 students, 30 students, 150 students, 250 students. So currently, Howard is getting approximately 35% to 40% of our patient population from Southeast DC. If we were to lose that many people, that would in turn mean we would lose those patient encounters. With the loss of those patient encounters, we would encounter a problem with the LCME. We would also encounter a problem with ACGME, which accredits residency programs. So if you lose a third of your seats, for example, as a result of losing a third of your patients, that means our class size would go down from 120 to 80. That's important because Howard is the largest producer of black physicians. Significantly, Howard also produces, and our classes are about 30% black men. The number of black men getting medical degrees has gone down over the last 30-some-odd years, from the mid-50s to like a third. So we're producing classes with 30% black men, which is significant. And so if you were to lose those seats, we're now down at 80 seats. That means that you are crushing the pipeline of the production of black doctors. On the residency side, we have a dermatology program. We have a gastroenterology fellowship. Those are very important programs that only exist for which, I shouldn't say they only exist, but we are the only black hospital that has them. And so if you can't train those fellows, those residents, because you don't have the patient volumes, you lose those accreditations. So that's really important to us. Additionally, we have the only pharmacy school and the only dental school in the District of Columbia. And so all the patients are important to our training of dentists and pharmacists and medical students and all of those people.
Dr. Mallory Williams, Dr. Felice Williams has hit a lot of those points. But tell me this, for those at home who don't necessarily understand why patients still can't come to Howard University and therefore it shouldn't affect folks here at the university, can you explain a little bit and piggyback what Felice is talking about in terms of then where do the doctors you are training can go, does that mean that they would not be able to work at this new medical center?
First of all, thank you for having us on. I want to just praise WHUR for being in the heart of the community and thinking about these issues. I want to echo what my colleague has just said. It's so important to understand that when you look at the number of black males in medical school today, the number is the same number or slightly a little bit lower than it was in 1978.
Mm-hmm.
And so this pipeline in which you so eloquently articulated is critical to us having a group of doctors who are going to be dedicated and available to take care of minority populations all throughout the country. In terms of why it's necessary in this legislation to include Howard University doctors, listen, I think that there's just such a profound and strong value proposition here that it should be there should be no need for discussion. When you look at the fact that Howard University was the first verified level one trauma center in the city, when you look at the 150 years of being dedicated to taking care of who? Not the insured, not the powerful, not the people who could pay for those services, but the people who in fact could not pay for those services. And so when we go back in history and we look at the foundations of Freedman's Hospital, that hospital begins to take care of a population of people who were largely disenfranchised and largely disadvantaged. And largely disadvantaged. And so when you talk about including Howard University's physicians, their medical students, their faculty, and all of the allied health providers of Howard in that mission, what you're really talking about is employing the people whose heart and soul are into doing that work into the work that needs to be done on behalf of Ward 7 and 8.
Dr. Carla Williams, interim director of the Howard University Cancer Center. It all sounds like it should be easy peasy simple. So why is Howard University being locked out of this deal?
Well, as we know, that there was a competitive bid process that was managed through the mayor's office. Howard participated as well as Universal Healthcare, which is the owner of the GW hospital. And so that was a competitive process. Universal GW was selected. And so now is the time that now that they have that sort of initial step, now is the time to start understanding all the ramifications. So as this discussion has evolved, and city council and many leaders in the city at large, as this discussion is doing, is beginning to educate the public on the broader impacts, that it's not just building a facility. There are so many ways in which this hospital touches so many segments of the community. And so, you know, D.C. is unique as an urban center with three teaching hospitals. That's very unique. And so I would think that if any one of us is endangered for the city, this is a major issue that we all have to come together around, because we each serve a very important purpose. And as Dr. Mallory Williams just indicated, you know, this is the heart of our mission. That's why our students come here. And that's what we do, and we do it every day. And each of our other sister institutions also contribute to the health of the city. So now is the time, even though we've gotten through that first step of figuring out kind of how to cut ground, perhaps, but we've got to figure out how to do it so that it maximizes the benefit to the entire city.
Tonight we are talking about the East End Health Act and what it will mean, and the new hospital that is being planned east of the Anacostia River, and what it means for Howard University, its doctors, its students, its effect on the community, its effect on black doctors. The phone lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'd like to hear from you. Let's go to those phone lines and go to Melvin, calling from Southeast D.C. Go right ahead, Melvin.
This is a very good topic because I'm a black male. And I came up in the city, and I never really see too many black doctors that look like me or can understand me. And I know there's a problem with a lot of black males going to get themselves checked out. So maybe if more black males can see this, they will feel more comfortable. What do you think about this? Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you so much, Melvin. And, you know, and part of this conversation, Drs. Williams, is that black doctors matter. And Melvin is basically saying that. So talk a little bit about the effect here on image, what you see, because I think that's kind of what Melvin is saying, yeah?
So as we know, there's historical distrust of medicine amongst black people, and that has to do with certain things that have happened in research and in the fields of science. And so I know that I have been told that it's very disarming for the person to walk into the room and look just like you, and that that makes people feel more comfortable that you've got an invested interest in who they are as a person, in their health, in not doing any harm, which is, of course, something all physicians should have in mind, but that there is a connectedness that comes from just the fact that you and I look like we could be family. And I think that that's really valuable in the medical arena because it helps patients to feel more comfortable. I know here at Howard, we have, for example, the MenTech 10 program, which is facilitated by the first black female urologist in the country. And she's faculty at Howard, and she's seeing black men who have issues with prostate, with their prostate, and getting prostate screenings. And so, like, those are the kinds of culturally sensitive programming that we have at Howard that I think might be unique in the city.
Dr. Mallory Williams, does this black doctors matter? With this bill excluding Howard University, does it erode that message that black doctors matter?
It absolutely does. And what your caller, Melvin, articulated quite simply has been shown in multiple data sets throughout medicine. So let's talk about these data sets that affect our citizens here in the District of Columbia. We know that it has been shown over and over again that racial concordance, that means your doctor looking like you, has a profound impact on when retroviral therapy is started in patients who have HIV. We know that it has an impact if your doctor looks like you on what the length of time they may spend with you during a healthcare encounter. So black doctors do matter. This has been borne out in the literature. And as we look to really the number one thing, which is providing our citizens in the District of Columbia the absolute best care that we can to erase the presence of black doctors from that equation, just simply cannot be.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tonight we are talking about black doctors. We're talking about the East End Health Act that will go to vote in the D.C. Council tomorrow and what that will mean for Howard University, its doctors, its students, and what it will mean for the community and services. We'd like to hear from you, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Dr. Carla Williams, you run the Cancer Center at Howard University Hospital. In your experience, can you give us sort of, as a doctor, and what you see with this bill that's out there and what it will mean, is there a best case, worst case scenario? Can something sort of happen here that may be a worst case and that can be a best case for this situation? I know that's sort of a broad question.
Well, I think the worst case has been sort of identified by Dr. Felice in terms of losing any business that loses 30-35% of its customers, its clients.
And you're confident that will happen?
Well, if you had a choice to drive several miles across town, 30 minutes, 2-3 buses, or to go down the street and see a physician, of course, this is what everyone wants. Mm-hmm. Everyone wants people to have access to the healthcare services they need in their local communities. Everyone is in agreement on that. That's not the debate. So a worst case scenario is by moving that care where it needs to be, that, as was stated, that the trainees here that train at Howard may not have the right number of patients that they can see the right variety of cases that they can see to be able to train to the level that we want to train them to. So that's a worst case scenario. I don't think anybody wants to see that on the table. The best case scenario is what is beginning to happen, is people are beginning to have these very important conversations about what the city values and what they want to see and bringing the constituencies together.
Very quickly, is it too late, though, for that conversation?
No, Absolutely not. There were discussions yesterday. The discussions are ongoing. The council is listening, and they're being very proactive about addressing it.
Well, we are being proactive because we have three doctors here who can talk about this issue. So the experts are in the house, and we'd like to hear from you. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. The phone lines are still open. Kalinske and David, if you're on the line, stay right there. We're going to continue this conversation on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. The original Quiet Storm with Jeff Brown is next on 96.3 WHUR. Our conversation will continue on the East End Health Act and the community and black doctors. Stay with us. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on HRR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. Well, tonight, we are talking about legislation and what that legislation will mean in terms of healthcare services for our community and what it will mean for doctors in our community, specifically black doctors and those connected to Howard University. The East End Health Act will be voted on tomorrow by the D.C. Council. And currently, that legislation excludes Howard University from being part of a new hospital that will be built east of the Anacostia. We have doctors here from Howard University to move this conversation along, and the phone lines are open as well. Dr. Mallory Williams is Chief of Trauma at Howard University Hospital. He's on the phone lines with us. Dr. Carla Williams is the Interim Director of the Howard University Cancer Center. She joins us in studio, along with Dr. Felice Williams, a fourth-year medical student at the Howard University College of Medicine. Again, the phone lines are open, 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Let's go to those phone lines right now. David calling from Prince George's County. Go right ahead, David.
Hi, good evening. First of all, thank you for taking my call. And I'm just really calling to endorse the last two individuals that mentioned something. I'm a 55-year-old black male here in Prince George's County, involved in several health agencies, which I own. I attended a meeting last week at Prince George's County Health Authority. The main topic was, as you may well know, that they are spending millions of dollars trying to reduce the amount of individuals return to hospital within 30 days. 70% of those individuals are black males who were not attending doctors or hospitals simply because there is nobody there that looks like them. So I'm really here just to endorse what the conversation is that it's a desperate need for more black doctors here in the region and in the D.C. metropolitan area.
Thank you so much for your call. Dr. Felice Williams, you are a doctor, but you are also a medical student. Originally from California?
No, I'm not originally from California. I'm originally from the great state of North Carolina.
Okay, but you were in California when this legislation was sort of coming up, and mm-hmm. it was being discussed at the D.C. Council. And you came back from California.
Yes,
right?
I caught the red eye right out of San Francisco.
To sit in on that council meeting. Why were, like you, Howard University medical students so vocal on this issue, taking it to the front lines, going in front of the council?
So I think what's really important is for people to see us. You can say, oh, they're educating black doctors over there. Oh, they have black patients. Oh, they have black faculty. But if you don't see us, you may not realize the very real impact that you're having with your vote, with your legislation. And so I think that that's critically important that we are visible. One of the things that they teach us in medical school is that the having an MD behind your name, by virtue of that, you are automatically a leader. And so I think that it's kind of ingrained in us that if there's a problem, if there's an issue, that you need to step up to the plate, you need to be accounted for, you need to be educated about the issue, and you need to make your voice heard because you have something valuable to say.
Now, Dr. Carla Williams has said it is not too late, but we know the vote is tomorrow. We know you were there December 4th. So with that vote being tomorrow, what is the plan for now until tomorrow or even tomorrow?
So the plan is, of course, to continue to get out the conversation about Howard Medicine Mattering, the hashtag that we've started, our PR campaign, discussing our fantastic faculty. The plan is also to be in the House tomorrow at the Wilson Building, all day likely, based on where we are on the agenda, to make sure that the the bill doesn't proceed without us, because quite frankly, what we're interested in is access as medical students. We don't have a problem with there being a hospital. We think there should be a hospital. We don't have a problem with the people that want to operate the hospital. What the issue is for us is access to the patients that we have been caring for all of this time, we continue to care about, and that we would like to care for. And that access requires an academic affiliation agreement, which is why that language was so important to us from council member Trayon White. And having that academic affiliation agreement is what allows you to continue to have 120 seats in the medical school. It's what allows you to continue to have all of the ACGME accredited programs and fellowships that we have. So that is really what we're after and what we're seeking and what we hope to see tomorrow, because that amendment did pass last time we were at the council. So we want to see that amendment included. It is included. It's a part of the bill now. We want to make sure that everything is, as we would say, on the up and up.
I think that provision, though, has been pulled from the table, and Vincent Gray has called that amendment a poison pill. So that seems to make things even dicier now. And Dr. Carla Williams, I know you said that things are not too late, and we know what doctors are doing here in the conversation that we're having. But what should listeners be doing, residents out there, the community, what can they do?
Well, I want to make sure that we understand that Councilmember Gray's comment wasn't directed specifically to the issue of Howard. There are several other issues. As we said, there are many constituents. So that particular comment wasn't directly related to Howard. Councilmember Gray has said he supports Howard, and we have strong support from the council.
But doesn't support that sort of part of the affiliation amendment?
Well, what I've think is being currently discussed is how to make sure that before this bill goes forward and moves into the action phase, that our constituency and the others that are involved and potentially at risk are addressed. Mm-hmm. So what can citizens do? That's what your council members are there for. They're there to hear from you. At the last council hearing, I remember one council member saying he received over 1,000 emails about this very issue. And they are listening. So we can still contact people, even though they'll be in council chambers. They have staff. They're going to hear. They're going to know what's going on outside.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Our guest tonight, Dr. Mallory Williams, Chief of Trauma at Howard University Hospital, Dr. Carla Williams, Interim Director of the Howard University Cancer Center, and Dr. Felice Williams, fourth-year medical student at the Howard University College of Medicine. And no, they are not related. Let's go to Kalinske calling from South Carolina with the question or comment. Go right ahead, Kalinske. Kalinske, are you there? Go right ahead. Yes, go right ahead.
Yes, I am. I love the discussion. It has a very firm impact on our current situation in terms of as a community of people seeking medical treatment. And it's wonderful to have people that, once again, that you have a similarity with, someone that you can associate with. In light of, regardless of what happens with the vote, have there been any discussions to maybe generate a marketing campaign to maybe inform the larger community of this so that in the future, people of color can make a more conscious decision to seek out these are heroes, if I could put it that way.
Got you. Thank you.
And that way, maybe we could solve it from the market level and with a little bit more information.
Thank you so much, Kalinske. Dr. Mallory Williams, Kalinske is saying getting the word out. I know Dr. Carla Williams has said that. Can you talk a little bit about, we know often these issues are about galvanizing the community, whatever side that you're on, right? And so when we're talking about doing that, let me ask you on a two-part prong here. That and with hospitals closing in Southeast, such as Providence. Providence is actually in Northeast, correct? Mm-hmm. And this has meant a higher caseload by default for Howard University Hospital, right? But you are essentially, are you saying that Howard staff is willing to be planted in east of the river to provide care closer to where the patients are located? And if that's the case, why? Why is that the position?
So I'm absolutely saying that Howard University is committed to providing absolute access to patients east of the river, even being planted in that location and certainly having that as a training ground. I think when you look at some of the things that we've been talking about, we have already begun to have the wider conversation in the community. When talk of poison pills is being associated with certain communities having high-paying jobs with livable wages, that begins to even have perhaps a broader impact on this conversation than even the health issues.
Mm-hmm.
Nevertheless, talking about those people and what they may look like in terms of their racial composition. When talk of academic affiliations with academic entities such as Howard University, whose mission has really been dedicated for 150 years to doing that work, and somehow an affiliation with a proud, excellent entity that's been doing that work is somehow a poison pill, then that already begins to impact a broader conversation that is now occurring. I think that there's some things that just are indisputable.
Mm-hmm.
One, when you look at Howard University, and one of the things that's already been mentioned by my colleagues, which is the community-based initiatives that we have that are really viewing a hospital as substantively something broader and bigger, acting and functioning upon the health of a community, such as the Engage program, where kids in the community come into Howard University, they get exposed to the health professions, they get exposed to a trauma center, they are advised and mentored above and beyond just seeing them as patients. When you talk about our victim over violence award, where we recognize kids in the community that have been traumatized by violence and inspire them to have a broader vision, like the kids of Parkland, to really think about how they can impact their community in specific ways. It's about people who really have a heart for caring for a community. Yes, there is the healthcare component, but there are many other components. And how do you then collaborate in a very intentional and a very successful way with that entity to bring about better healthcare and public health for the entire community? So when we start talking about the differences in how Howard approaches this community in terms of providing it health care and our other colleagues in the city, I think it's a no-brainer. And I think the people in the community see that, respond to it, and really buy into a collaboration.
Dr. Felice Williams, mm-hmm. you were part of a town hall meeting, yes?
Yes.
Yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that meeting, what was discussed, and what was your sense of what came out of that town hall meeting?
So one of the big takeaways from that town hall meeting
and that was at Union Temple yes, Baptist Church in Southeast.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
One of the biggest takeaways was that Southeast is in no rush. They have waited this long, and they feel like they can still wait so that we can get this right. They are not interested necessarily in lacking a CON process. They think that the Certificate of Need process should likely proceed so that they can get the adequate, comprehensive health care that they need, that including subspecialty care, such as diabetes care, such as cardiovascular care, such as high-risk obstetrical care. That was a big takeaway. One of the things that was brought out is the fact that in Wards 5, 7, and 8, there is no place to have a baby.
Hmm.
There is no place to have a baby. And more importantly, there's also no high risk care there. So there are no perinatologists, no maternal fetal medicine specialists in that area. So if you look at the maternal morbidities and mortalities that are occurring in the district, they are disproportionately coming from that area. And that area does not have prenatal care. That area does not have what it needs so that these patients can not have these long-term sequelae that are a result of lack of prenatal care, a result of, you know, some of the comorbidities that the patients have there, such as, you know, gestational hypertension or issues with gestational diabetes. So that was a big thing takeaway, that you cannot have a baby in that area. Another big takeaway was that they are not interested in a hospital that exists to the detriment of Howard. And I thought that was really profound because that is a community that is in great need of a hospital. And in even from their position of great need, they were still able to say, hey, but we don't want to hurt anybody else to meet our own need. We want everybody at the table. We want everybody to get the things that they're looking for. We want the unions to have what they need. We want Howard to have what it needs. We want to have a culturally sensitive health experience. We want to see Black doctors.
And that should be interesting, that conversation, and whether that flows back to their legislative leaders that we'll see at the council meeting tomorrow, at least on the vote. We are going to continue this conversation on the East End Health Equity Act and what it all means for Black doctors, what it means for Howard University, and what it means for the surrounding community. The phone lines are still open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. The doctors are in the house. This conversation will continue right after this timeout. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. Tonight, we are talking about the East End Health Equity Act and what that will mean for the surrounding community, what it will mean for Howard University's medical students, Howard University staff, which includes Black doctors, and again, what it means for our surrounding community. We have the doctors in the house, the doctors Williams. Dr. Mallory Williams, he's chief of trauma at Howard University Hospital. He joins us on the line. Dr. Carla Williams, she's the interim director of the Howard University Cancer Center. And Dr. Felice Williams, a fourth-year medical student at Howard University's College of Medicine. Dr. Carla Williams, let's go back, if we can, a little bit and talk about Howard University and how it's positioned in Southeast D.C. now and where the new hospital will go. Can you sort of chat a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think we started alluding to it earlier. These are services that we have been providing in various ways over the years. Either through, for example, the mobile unit that Dr. Felice talked about that goes out to take prostate health information and services out to the community. And one thing that I did want to point out is that Howard has been the only provider of oncology services in the east end of the city for about 3 years until the retirement of one of our physicians. We were the only oncology service provider on that side of the city. And that was through a partnership with Sibley. And so we have found ways to bring those services to the city. We have found ways to be creative about the ways that we approach this. And so that just shows our commitment. There wasn't money on the table about this. There wasn't a new facility on the table. We just knew that the services were needed, and we found a way to make it happen.
Dr. Mallory Williams, we know George Washington president university is against this proposed deal. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that it's easy as a private entity to view an opportunity in just numbers and economics. What I expect from my elected leaders and what I expect from the people who look at public health in a more through a more critical lens is to have a historical memory about the city, the District of Columbia. And to be able to see that when child care services were shut down at the hospital east of the river, Howard stepped up to provide those services. And there wasn't a lot of benefit, per se, on the table. There was just a need and a mission that met each other. And so it's not just about the numbers. And I think if we go down that road, we're going to not do things in the benefit of the citizens of District of Columbia. We have to consider where the commitment has been, where the commitment is, and where the cultural competency and willingness to do this very, very difficult work has been proven to be, and that's Howard University. So I expect GW to have a business perspective. And I expect that when GW's business perspective meets a council that is informed and has the heart of the community in mind, for them to take that business perspective and carve it and mold it around a D.C. citizen's perspective. and overlay it and then come together with a collaboration.
Well, here's a question that I'd like all of the doctors, Williams, to address. Universal Health Services, which is really the behemoth here in dealing with this, has indicated it wants all or nothing. It wants the tower that it wants right in Foggy Bottom, does not want Howard University involved in this. It wants total exclusivity. They say either we get that or we walk away from this deal. Does this speak to their level of proposed care in Southeast? Which doctor would like to take that first?
Well, I'll just...
Dr. Carla Williams?
I'll just reiterate what I heard Ms. Russo representing GW say is that, if I remember hearing her correctly, 30 to 35% of their patients also come from this segment of the city. So I'm not sure how they could afford to lose that many patients, as we're indicating how it would have such a detrimental impact on us. So it calls some things into question for me.
Dr. Felice Williams.
I think for us, it's important for us to remember that this is a Fortune 500 company. They own lots of hospitals all across the nation. They also are currently in litigation with regard to some of those hospitals that they operate. And so I think that's important to consider when we're thinking about who is going to take care of the least of these in the district. I also think that it's important to consider that that's a slight, I would say, overplaying of the hand. If you're saying, give me this thing I want, or I won't give you this thing you want, then do you care? Because if you care, then you want what we want, which is for the people of Southeast to have a fantastic medical facility. And whether or not you get what you want, you should be willing to provide that to the people of Southeast. So I think that they are very clearly showing that their interest is entirely economic. I think that they are very clearly showing that they are not, you know, living up to the standards by which we should all aspire to, which is that, you know, I will help my fellow brother, I am my brother's keeper. You know, those kind of things don't seem to be at the forefront of their consciousness.
Dr. Mallory Williams, your thoughts.
We've got one entity talking about walking away. We've got another entity that's Howard that's talking about stepping up and has been stepping up for 150 years. I tell my colleagues at GW, if you want to walk, walk. The health care of the citizens of the District of Columbia is not for negotiation or sale.
I thought you were going to continue, but I think that's a period. Dr. Felice Williams, you wanted to piggyback that.
I just wanted to say that I think it's important what he's saying is with the stepping up. For example, at Howard, when the labor and delivery units at these various hospitals closed, when it closed at Providence, mm-hmm. when it closed at UMC, Howard stepped up and assumed the risk associated with these high-risk pregnancies coming out of Southeast DC. And what I want to say about that is that nationally, the number of high-risk pregnancies normally being seen at any individual hospital is a single-digit number. At Howard, it's 30%. That means that our Howard University faculty, our physicians with their malpractice insurance are assuming that kind of risk, our residents are assuming that kind of risk, and there has been no conversation whatsoever about not taking those patients, not seeing those patients, not caring for those patients. And so I think that's really important, and that's something that the city should really laud about Howard, that we are willing at every point that the city needs us to step up and to take care of people and to see the least of these, that we continue to do that.
So, I, Dr. Carla Williams, I hear what Dr. Felice Williams is saying. I hear what Dr. Mallory Williams is saying. I hear what you have said. It all seems to make sense. And I do sort of want to go back again that if it all seems to make sense, if there is history involved with Howard University and Freedman's Hospital, Howard University Hospital now, then why would there not be, in your eyes, more of an effort to make this work for all sides and include Howard University into this legislation?
Again, I think that's where we're getting to. It took a road to get us there. It took educating the public about this issue and others to get us there. A quote that I like is that this is a political, it's somewhat of a political decision. And politics, a quote from the 18th century, I think, is that politics is application of good sense for the good of the people. And that's what we're trying to get to. We're trying to get everybody to bring their best to the table for the city. And I think that we can get there. Howard is very strong in partnership, and we've partnered with each of these institutions in the city. We've done it before, so there's no reason we can't do it again. This is going to be a challenge, but there's no reason we can't do it again.
Dr. Mallory Williams, does gentrification, which we know is happening all throughout the city, in every ward, does that play a role in what's happening here?
Hard to say. I think in relationship towards 7 and 8, that more than not, this is a little bit of lack of communication and lack of understanding at the core issues.
Hmm.
And correct me if I'm wrong, I've been asking this question for quite some time. In all of the public statements, I just have not heard the level of commitment to the citizens of Ward 7 and Ward 8 that I would like to hear from someone who was going to be coming in to do something as sacred as provide health care.
We have about 3 minutes left, and we've got three guests, so I want to give you, I can do the math, I'm not real good in it, but I know that's about a minute. So I'd like to get your final thoughts on, we know what's going to happen, assume tomorrow, but your thoughts on what's happening, whether or not you have a last sort of position of a call for action, or just generally your thoughts here on this issue. Dr. Felice Williams.
So I just want to say that we believe that Ward 7 and 8 deserve a comprehensive health ecosystem that surrounds them, uplifts them, supports them, and we want that to be equitable and we want that to be just. I think that it's really important, that gentrification question is really important, because one of the issues, as far as from the student body's perspective, is the loss of seats, like I've been talking about with the accreditation issue, that is going to choke off the pipeline for the production of Black doctors. And so that, in a certain kind of way, could be considered a gentrification of the medical profession. If we at Howard have an outsized responsibility to produce Black doctors, every Black doctor you meet across the country is either educated at Howard, they are mentored by someone who's educated at Howard, they know somebody who's a Black physician that has a connection to Howard. And so if you choke off that pipeline, what are you doing?
Dr. Carla Williams.
I've really got to echo that while this is the issue we've been talking about for the city and the health and welfare of our citizens, it is a national issue as well, because our physicians touch so many other cities and small towns and even internationally. And so we want to make sure that we're not only having a pipeline to healthcare locally, but actually a pipeline to leadership nationally.
Dr. Mallory Williams, I'm so sorry I'm cutting you short, but you've got about 15 seconds.
Formation of Freedmen's Hospital was never fully funded. It's the biggest bounce check in history. And yet we stayed the course to serve the underserved. The end.
And we will end on that historical note. Dr. Mallory Williams, Chief of Trauma at Howard University Hospital, Dr. Carla Williams, Interim Director of the Howard University Cancer Center, and Dr. Felice Williams, fourth-year medical student at the Howard University College of Medicine. We thank you all for your expertise. We look forward to hearing more from you, and we will follow this story, obviously, on this important vote in the D.C. Council tomorrow. That's the Daily Drum on HR Voices, Sirius XM channel for this Monday, December 17th.